This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in right now, and you should. Don't wait till tomorrow. Email right now, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything. Friday's going to be a blast, as it always is. Now, for you new listeners, I need to let you know something. Yes, I understand it's a political radio show, and as you probably have picked up by now, I go off on several little sidebar tangents from time to time. But my hobby, I don't really have very many hobbies. My hobby is history. I am not a historian. I'm an uneducated rube, but I geek out on history. So I watch documentaries and I read books and I watch documentaries and I read books. You catch me alone on a Friday night if the fam's out or something, I will be sitting there reading something or watching a documentary. I don't know why, but that's what I do. And because I love history, I love to tell history stories. Now, you may love them or you may hate them. Really doesn't matter. I love them, so I'm going to keep telling them from time to time. I used to, before the show went mega national, I don't have time to do this anymore because it takes a bunch of research, but I used to do a history like hour every show. I just don't have time for that now, but I love it. And sometimes when politics has gotten too ugly or it's just been too much, I just want to tell a story. Now, last night, I was going off about Secretary Austin, about how he has no regrets from Afghanistan. Remember when he said this?
You said you executed the president's order. You didn't tell us what you advised the president to do. But do you have regrets about the withdrawal from Afghanistan?
I support the president's decision.
Do you have regrets about the withdrawal or how the withdrawal occurred from Afghanistan that cost the lives of 13 of our service members?
I don't have any regrets.
You don't have...
And I brought up the Battle of Cannae. And I realized that that was probably a mistake when I checked the emails, and a bunch of people don't know what that is. I made the mistake that I get so mad at other people for making. I said something and assumed that everybody had read up on it. Everyone kind of knew what I was talking about. So, you ready for some history? I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine you and 10 of your friends get swords in your hands, right? And you're standing out in the middle of a field. Soon, the wind kicks up, and you find yourself surrounded by other men with swords and spears, horses. And I want you to imagine what it would be like to hear the beginning when you can barely see and the dust is in your nose and your mouth is dried out. You don't know really what's going on, but you begin to hear your friends die as they get cut down with swords and spears. And not only are your friends dying, that death sounds like it's getting closer and closer to you. Scary, right? Now, hang on a second. Let's set this up before we get there. I hope you've heard of the Punic Wars. If you have not, here's what they were. Chris, I know you have. You've been doing this with me for 4.5 years. I know you know. Anyway, the Punic Wars. Everyone knows what ancient Rome is. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. But what you may not know is before Rome was taken over by emperors, you know, the Julius Caesars and Augustus and those types, before Rome was that, Rome was a republic. It was led by the Senate. And it was around a long time before the emperor age, before it became the Roman Empire. And at one point, early enough on, Rome, yes, they were majorly powerful. They'd made themselves a force in the Mediterranean, but they had an equal. They most definitely had an equal. We don't realize this now. We think of them as some, you know, some afterthought. Carthage. Now, what is Carthage? What was Carthage? Carthage really sprang up in the Mediterranean as a major shipping port. You've heard of the Phoenicians? Hopefully you have. No, that's not just a nice hotel. The Phoenicians are kind of a fascinating society. where they weren't even interested in building inland cities. They were only interested in building seaside cities right by the Mediterranean, and they focused on shipping and trade. And that really turned into the Carthaginians. And they were fabulously wealthy, these Carthaginians. And they were a juggernaut. Then Rome and Carthage began to butt heads. Eventually, they fought a war, the First Punic War. This was really fought on Sicily. We're not going to go into all the details of that. But what you do need to understand is this. Hannibal Barca, coolest freaking name ever, by the way. Hannibal Barca, his father, was a powerful Carthaginian general. Hannibal and his brother, they grew up on military bases, on military campaigns, learning military tactics, learning from their father. And their father was known, tell me how cool this is, their father was known as the Lion, and his sons, as they came up and began to be capable military commanders, were known as the Lion's Brood. How cool is that? That's sweet. I want my sons to be known as the Lion's Brood. Anyway, that's probably not going to happen, but anyway, the Lion's Brood. Now, eventually, I won't go through all the details of it, but Hannibal decides he's going to attack Rome in Rome. This is not something that had normally been done. And he decides he's going to do it in a way that Rome doesn't see coming. Now, you can picture the Italian boot. You know what Italy looks like. But what you should know, if you're not familiar with the territory at all, is that on top of it, the northern part of it, you have the Alps, the brutal mountains there. And Rome, because there was this huge mountain range there, and we're not in the era of gigantic bombers that can just fly over them. We're in the era of horses and feet and elephants, if you're Hannibal. Hannibal decided he was going to do something the Romans didn't see coming. He was going to attack Rome from the north. He was going to go through the Alps and attack Rome from the north. Now, Hannibal gathers up this large army, and he amasses in the Alps, and he crosses the Alps. It should be known, I've always thought this was cool. I don't know why I think this is so cool. I just do. Did you know that today they still don't know the route Hannibal took through the Alps? And if you read anything, oh, Chris said, how don't you know? I used to think that too. How can they not know? How can they not know? One, keep in mind, we're talking about 200 years before Christ. You know the guy you guys killed, Chris? Anyway, we're talking, it's very old. That's one. Two, they write things down in the old age, but they don't give specifics like we have today, where you would have latitude and longitude, and they just don't give that. There was no writing like that. And the crossing of the Alps itself sounds like an incredibly fascinating thing. How harrowing it was in the mountains. It's not just the cold. There were vicious tribal peoples in the mountains who didn't want Hannibal through and they'd regularly attack him and ambush him, and they're dropping rocks down on him. It just sounds wild. But either way, Hannibal does get through the Alps. And by the time he gets through the Alps, the Romans have heard there is this huge army led by Hannibal coming, and they say, oh my gosh, get an army up there. And he gets out of the Alps, and there's a gigantic Roman army waiting for him. Hannibal, we're not talking about that battle today, so we're going to fast forward through this. Hannibal takes his army and he smashes that Roman army, just obliterates them. Now Rome is extremely scared because Roman armies, they were getting to the point now where they were really, really, really elite, and Roman armies didn't get smashed. How would you feel today if you woke up and you found out a Marine regiment was wiped out by a Chinese regiment of equal size? You would say, no way. No one does that to the Marines. Well, that's what the Romans were thinking at this point in time. Must be a fluke. There's no way. What's going on? This is scary. Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Gather up another large army. We're going to go smash Hannibal this time. So another large army goes a-marching to look for Hannibal. I will finish up the brief little story of that army, and then we'll get to the Battle of Cannae in just a second, because I love history. Now, before we get to that, let's get to this. You know I hate thievery. It's just in my bones. I don't know why. I despise thieves. I despise thievery. I really hate the whole cybercrime era because I don't understand it. I still don't understand why my home title has to be online when home title theft is such a big deal, but it is online. Why do you leave it online? Well, they leave it online. Your home title is online. It's not just a piece of paper somewhere. It's online. These home title thieves, they hack into these titles and they forge your signature on them. And then they go shopping in lending institutions until they find a bunch that will give them loans. They take loans out against your home in your name and they take off with the money. You don't have any idea. No one calls you to let you know, oh, someone would call. No one calls. The first notice you get are the late notices in the mail telling you you're behind. Then they'll evict you from your home. You might be a victim of this right now, and you wouldn't know. No one would call. You want to know if you are? Home Title Lock will let you look for free. They give it away free. HomeTitleLock.com/Jesse. Go register your home address right now and find out if your home's still in your name. While you're there, sign up to make sure it stays in your name. HomeTitleLock.com/Jesse. Go do it. Let's do some more history. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and it is a Thursday, and it is history time. We used to be a political show, but that was last hour. Now we're telling the story about the Battle of Cannae. And I'm still doing the lead up to it, so don't worry if you're just now joining us. All right, so Hannibal gets through the Alps, and he smashes a Roman army. The Romans panic. Chris just asked me during the break, he still has elephants at this time. No, Hannibal was maybe the greatest tactical general in the history of mankind, but I don't think he understood animals all that well. The elephants didn't fare that well in the whole snow-capped mountains thing. He lost most of them coming through the Alps. And then when he got through the Alps, that first battle he fought with the Romans, there was freezing rain. Basically, there was sleet coming down. The elephants did not do well. And you know what else is disappointing, Chris? And this sucks so bad. The elephants, they never did as much good as you would think they did. And I like to admit, and I know there are some parts of history are so great and some are so disappointing. I like to imagine when I picture some ancient battle, some huge elephant stomping through whole legions of troops. Elephants were actually, they eventually got really easy to deal with once you got experience dealing with them. It's not that they didn't do any good. They did do some good. But once the Romans figured out to spread out, don't bunch up, spread out. Plus the Romans figured out, I know, sorry for you animal rights people. The Romans also figured out that they scare really easily. And so they would take pigs, the Romans would, and they would cover the pigs in pitch. It's really flammable. They cover the pigs in pitch and they'd aim them at the elephants and they'd light the pigs on fire. And the elephants would see that obviously the pig is screaming, squealing. They would light the pig on fire, and now you have this flaming pig that's squealing coming at the elephants. It would throw them into a blind panic. It got to the point where ancient armies would have a guy sitting on top of the elephant whose job it was to smash a spike down into the elephant's brain. There was actually a spike already set up on the elephant that he just had to hit to kill it because the elephants would turn around and kill your own troops. They'll just go crazy with fear and they'll turn around and stomp your own people. So I'm sorry, Chris. This is not a story of elephants, my friend. This is not a story of elephants. Okay. So Hannibal smashes the Roman army. The Romans panic. The Romans send another army north. Now, this is another fascinating tale that I'll tell you again one day. I think I've told it before. It's a long time ago. It's called the Battle of Lake Trasimene. It's just bizarre I still don't understand how the Romans could get so fooled by this, and I won't go into the details. I'll do it another time. But essentially, the Romans found themselves marching towards where they thought Hannibal was. Now, picture this. The Romans are marching towards these torches and fires they see in the distance. They think that's where Hannibal is. And as they're marching, there's a big lake, Lake Trasimene, on the left. I believe it was on the left. It doesn't matter which side it was. On one of their sides, there was a big lake. On the other side, there was this thickly wooded hills. So you have a lake on one side, thickly wooded hills on the right. Hannibal ambushes the Roman army. Now, when you have armies this size, it's very difficult to ambush with that many people. But he does it. He wipes out a second Roman army. Well, now the Romans are in a state of panic. And I want to pause on this for a moment. Keep in mind, have you ever heard of the statement, the term, the Fabian strategy? A Fabian strategy. Have you ever heard of that before? Chris, you never heard of that before? All right. Well, people who have, not idiots like Chris, people who have will know the Fabian strategy was, well, this is where it came from. A guy pops up because Rome had a history. Roman history was before the emperors, the Senate, when in times of panic, in times of war, they would take one man and they would make him dictator. So he doesn't have to go through the Senate or anything else anymore. Hey, one man, command the armies, make all the decisions. The economy's yours. The whole country. Now, this was always temporary. You had to give it up. But hey, you be dictator. You be, just take care of it. So they appoint this guy to be dictator. And this guy steps in and he says, hey, this guy clearly is a superior general than every Roman. We can't compete with this. So why don't we just cut off his supply lines? Let's cut off his supply lines, make it so he can't eat, harass him on the flanks. Don't take him on anymore. Stop taking him on. That's suicide. The Romans, the Senate, despise this. It seems so unmanly to them. And they were panicked about what Hannibal's strategy was. Remember, Rome didn't start out owning all of the Italian peninsula. Rome took the Italian peninsula by conquest. There were many, many, many city-states on the Roman peninsula that weren't that pleased about being under the Roman thumb. Hannibal's plan all along was, I'll recruit a bunch of Gauls as I come down through the mountains, and then when I get onto the Italian peninsula, I will have these city-states who don't like Rome defect over to my side, and eventually I'll gain enough forces to take down Rome. Not a bad strategy. That was his strategy. Well, this new Roman dictator puts in this strategy of just trying to cut Hannibal off in the Senate, and they all freak about it because they say, hey, not only is this unmanly, our city-states are going to leave us if we don't fight him and get him out of here. We need to get him out of here now. So the Senate bounces him, and instead they have two consuls again, like they normally do, and these two consuls amass a massive army, 86,000 Roman soldiers, and they are tasked with going north to smash Hannibal once and for all. Hannibal had about 50,000 by this point in time, which brings us to the Battle of Cannae. And then we'll get back to politics. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see what kind of mood I'm in. No, we'll get back to politics, I swear. Until we do that, though, or before we do that, I guess I should say. You obviously know we brought up the troops in the beginning who lost their lives. That brings it home for me. Whenever I see stuff like this, what brings it home for me is how many other families live with this every day. It's a headline today, and we're sad, and we pray, and we move on. But dad never comes home for them again. It's hard, isn't it? I love that Tunnel to Towers remembers when I don't. They remember when you don't. Those families, they are helped by Tunnel to Towers all the time. They're building smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, first responder families, Gold Star families are having mortgages paid off, easing the burden of having mom or dad gone forever. They ask us for $11 a month. Can we do that? Go to T2T.org and give $11 a month. All right? T2T.org.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I will get back to the emails and why they're hiding the manifesto and Ivy League schools are super expensive now. And I find that to be hilarious and all kinds of other things. All these are still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show, Chris. But we're talking history right now. We're talking the Battle of Cannae. If you're just joining us, it's an ancient Roman battle. Hannibal's kicking the Romans around. There, you're all caught up. Now the Romans have built up this massive army, 86,000 men, and they're marching north to take on Hannibal's 50,000, to take on this, or to wrap this up. Get rid of this guy once and for all. Now, the Roman system had a lot of great parts about it and a lot of bad parts about it. And this is one of those parts that is just, I'll never understand it at all. Okay, know how I told you they had two guys in charge? Just think of them generals, the consuls, but they had two generals in charge. Generals. Well, they wanted to merge this 86,000 man army, which was obviously made up of separate units. They wanted to make it one big unit. So because of that, they decided to give each guy command on alternate days. I'm not making that up. So it would be me in charge on Monday. It's General Chris in charge Tuesday. Then back to me on Wednesday. Then it just sounds, honestly, for the people who were so brilliant, it sounds so stupid. But that is really what they did. It should be noted why they went to Cannae. What prompted that action so quickly? The Romans had a huge supply depot at Cannae. Hannibal found out about it, went and attacked it, and the Romans needed it. He baited them into this whole thing. They go marching up north. Then he did something else. Couple different things, crafty devil that he was. He sent some skirmishers, just some guys on horseback, not many, out to, quote, attack the Romans when they were on the way. And his guys lost. He retreated on purpose. His guys put up very little fight and then turned around and took off. Now the Romans are getting awfully cocky. And then they get up to Cannae and Hannibal does something else that turned out to be hugely brilliant. Remember, like we talk about the communists, how they attack from multiple sides, multiple things, and it helps you so much in the end. You can take just a little bite here and a little bite there and a little bite there, and in the end you'll find yourself having bitten off a big chunk. Hannibal, he understood that an 86,000 man army and his 50,000 man army, but an 86,000 man army, what does it have to do? It has to eat and it has to drink water. Again, these are the non-sexy parts of warfare we never talk about. We talk about the spears and the horses and the bombs and the bullets and everything else. No one wants to talk about food. No one wants to talk about water. Do you have any idea how much water would be required to sustain 86,000 men in a day? That's just me, Chris, and Michael here in the studio. I think we go through easily a case of water in a week. 86,000 men need to drink a lot. Hannibal knew they needed to drink a lot. So he found their operation. The Romans always were logistical machines, making sure the food and water got there. He found where they were getting water, and he just attacked it and attacked it and attacked it and attacked it. And soon you have a Roman army, when it's time for battle, they're thirsty. It may not sound very much to you, but it's about to be more than you think. Now we're going to do the visual part of this. You ready for this? I want you to picture this, all right? Normally in ancient battles, just picture a straight line of troops lining up against a straight line of other troops. You've seen Braveheart, right? Braveheart. Only they're on foot for the most part. There are tons of cavalry involved. Hannibal's cavalry was better than Roman cavalry. Romans never had good cavalry, and Hannibal had more cavalry, but he was way outnumbered. But normally back then, you would line up in a straight line, and he would line up in a straight line. But Hannibal, he had a new idea. His idea was this. He was going to line up in what looked more like a triangle than it was a straight line, meaning his center of his line was stuck out front. Almost not triangle was a bad way to describe it. Think of it like an arrow. His line looked like an arrow pointing at the Romans. Now, this would have been very different for the Romans to see. It was different for Hannibal to do. And not only that, he did something else that didn't make a lot of sense at the time. The center of your line was always thought of as being critically important. You need that center to hold. Why is that so important? Now, you need it all to hold, but you really need the center to hold. Why? Because if the army breaks through your center, then what's happened is your army is split. Now you are split. Now you are surrounded probably on at least one side. At least one of those two armies is surrounded and you're probably finished. Your men will probably rout, turn around and run, and you're done. So you put your toughest guys in the middle. The middle cannot break. All right, you don't want the left flank to break. Or you don't want the right flank to break. But you can't have the center flank or you're in very, very, very deep trouble. So Hannibal puts his weakest troops in the middle, puts them out in front, and then he stays with them, him and his brother Mago. Well, the Romans lick their chops. The Romans amass extra troops in their middle because they see what Hannibal has done and they say to themselves, oh my gosh, look at this friggin' idiot. I guess Hannibal got stupid last night, guys. Let's just take our hammer of an army and smash it through his weak center, send him on back to Carthage. That's the plan. The battle begins. Now, there are some other cavalry things going on, and those were pretty vicious, but just set those aside. It's not that important, really, for the end of it. The Roman army pushes forward, and they hammer into Hannibal's center. Remember the part that's pointing out. And that center begins to pull back, because they have to. They're being pushed back. These are the weakest troops facing Roman legion. They're being pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. So you're picturing this arrow tip, right? And picture it getting flatter and flatter and flatter. Is that making sense? As the Roman army pushes. But as the Roman army is pushing the center, remember the center is the part that's giving way. The flanks where Hannibal's best troops are, they were staying solidly where they were because it was his best troops. Now the Roman army can sense this too. And they begin to amass even more in the center because they're pushing towards the weakest part. So they're pushing and pushing and pushing. Soon that arrow is no longer an arrow. Soon it's a flat line. And then it keeps pushing the other way. Now you've got a divot. Now you've got a dimple in your line. And Hannibal's in trouble, isn't he? Only Hannibal is not in trouble at all. You see, this was the plan all along. As we finish this off, and I'm going to finish it off in a second, you should know this. This is studied to this day in every war college in every nation on the planet. They study what Hannibal did here. It's not even thought to be possible what he did, but he did it, and it's amazing. We'll wrap that up. It'll only take me a couple minutes. We'll talk about the Ivy League, Nashville shooter, the Air Force, and more. Before we get to that, you know what the Romans needed that day, Chris? They didn't need what, Chris? They didn't need better generals. They didn't need better strategy. They needed a Mantis X. It, what if the Romans had been practicing with... Does Mantis X have something for the spear, Chris? I don't think they actually have something for the spear, but they probably would create something for the spear. And I bet Mantis X would do for the Romans what they've done for the Green Berets and what they've done for you. They would have allowed the Romans to do their spear practice at home and get real feedback. Oh, Roman, that was a bad throw. Try again with your spear. That's what Mantis X does for you with your firearm. You take your weapon and you practice in your work. You practice in your home. You practice wherever's not going to get you fired or in trouble because you're dry fire practicing. And Mantis X is giving you feedback. See, you'll find out why you're pushing your shots. They'll put you through drills. The Romans would find out why that sword slash wasn't good enough and you should do better next time. Either way, you could probably say the Romans lost the Battle of Cannae because of the lack of Mantis X. You won't lack Mantis X, though, because you're going to go buy one right now. You might just find yourself getting to be a lot better shot. You will. Having fun with your family. Having a healthy way to relieve stress. That's what Mantis X does. Go to MantisX.com. All right. MantisX.com. You go get yours. Also, do not forget tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, about to wrap up the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And yes, again, I've been going off on history, which may seem like a weird thing to do on the day of the Trump indictment and everything else. It's just Stay calm. None of this is a surprise. Remember, stay calm. Do not go to a blue area and protest. Stay calm. All right. All this will work out in the end. Now, let's finish up our story, the Battle of Cannae. Hannibal has his army being pushed back in the middle because that's where he put his weak troops. And the Romans get a little too ahead of themselves and they amass in the middle and try to push him back. But remember all that dust in the beginning and the confusion and the violence and the screaming and yelling that old ancient combat would have been? Hannibal has his flanks start working their way around the Romans, slowly making a circle around the Romans. Eventually, the Romans, too late, figure out what's happening. And they find their 86,000 troops surrounded, completely surrounded by 50,000 Carthaginian troops. And it's over. Only it's not over. The horror begins. People ask me, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But people ask me, I'll get a lot of, what's the worst place you would ever be in history? What's a moment? That's a long list. Being a Roman soldier at the center of this Battle of Cannae has got to be up there. Think what your mind would be going through. You are surrounded. You know you're surrounded. You're panicking. You would, of course, be panicking. And everyone around you is being hacked to death. And it's getting closer and closer and closer to you. You can't see. The dust would be horrible. It would be almost impossible to see. You'd be thirsty. You'd be scared. They say, according to the ancient writers, by the time the Carthaginians hacked their way into the middle, it took them all day. As you can imagine, no matter how many people you have, it would take some time to kill 86,000. Well, they didn't kill 86,000. They killed about 70,000. But by the time they got to the end, by the time they got to the center, Roman troops, some of them, had lost their minds in fear so badly that they had dropped their weapons and dug holes in the ground, a little mini hole in the ground with their hands, just kind of scraped out a hole in the ground and stuck their heads in it and pushed the dirt back in and smothered themselves to death. The Battle of Cannae. It is studied to this day. It's not supposed to be possible to surround a larger army with a smaller army, but Hannibal pulled it off. Should be noted that Hannibal did think that that was going to be it. A bunch of those city-states that Hannibal did want to recruit to his side did come over to his side after it, so it really did look like it was it. But the Romans just had this thing where they just never surrendered. They said, no, we're not going to surrender. The Romans had no army left, as you can imagine. They started putting criminals and slaves and things like that into their army, just trying to get some weapons in some people's hands. They were burying people alive to their gods. They were so panicked. They thought he was going to march on Rome. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Battle of Cannae. Did you enjoy that? I enjoyed that. What are we going to do? Sit and scream about Trump's indictment for 3 hours? We knew he was going to be indicted. We know it's a political persecution. We know it's all a sham. There's nothing to be done. He's going to get out of this, hopefully. But look, I warned you. How long ago did I warn you? I warned you last year that Trump needed to worry about New York City. Everyone was worried about the DOJ and the feds, and I warned you all. You should focus on New York City. And part of the reason I said that was in New York City, there's no level of state government that can even attempt to hold any of these people accountable. If you're Merrick Garland, you're the Attorney General of the United States of America. Yes, you can indict Trump and he still might. I'm not saying he won't. You can indict Trump. You can get out of control. You can go after school-born parents. You could do all these things. But you still at some point in time are obligated to go sit in front of the United States Senate and have Republican senators blast you over and over and over and over again. Alvin Bragg of New York City doesn't have to worry about that. Alvin Bragg has nobody who can hold him accountable. Been telling you to get out of the blue areas for a while. This is not the end. This is another reason I haven't made my whole show about it, and I won't. We're actually getting ready to move on here in a second, talk about Ivy League schools and stuff. This is not the end. This is the beginning. Today, it's Alvin Bragg. How many thousands of Alvin Braggs are graduating from the elite law schools this year, and then next year, and then next year, and then next year? How many of them will go become DAs solely because they want to persecute and prosecute their political opponents, and then they'll become judges one day? This is what the future of America looks like. This is why I've been telling you, uncomfortable as it may be, balkanize. Get out of your blue area. Get to a red area, and then fortify your red area, because the red area is probably full of pillow soft GOPers who haven't been taking their male vitality stack from chalk. Nobody needs a 20% increase in their testosterone in 90 days worse than the GOP. Because you know what the response to this should be, right? It's not whining about it. It's not going to New York City and protesting like some moron who's begging to get locked up. You know what the response should be? A Republican AG somewhere in this country. Go find a Democrat, congressman, senator, whatever it may be, and arrest him. Indict him and arrest him. Oh, Jesse, we can't do that. But we're going to be like them. Okay, then you're going to lose. That's not how it works. The communist, because he is a religious zealot, only understands fear and pain. But because the GOP lacks testosterone, they won't. You know what they'll do? You'll see this for the next 24, 48 hours. They'll talk about hypocrisy and why it's not right and why it's not fair and this is a political persecution and all for that. You know what the GOP will get? Same thing you've always gotten.
Those who broke the laws will be held to account. But this cannot be, and it will not be, a tit-for-tat exercise.
Of course.
We are not going to lower this.
The GOP will not only not respond in kind, the GOP, so lacking testosterone, will brag about not responding in kind. Look, we're better than that, guys. We're not doing it to them. Boy, that's really inspiring the communists to back off. The communist has never and will never look at your good conduct and say to himself, wow, he seems like a good dude. I think I'm going to back off. He's not doing it to me. I should back off, guys. You're either going to hurt him back with your own political persecutions, or this goes on and on and on, and it increases from here. Hey, GOP AGs and governors, if you need help, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to choq.com, promo code Jesse gets you 35% off a male vitality stack. I'm going to reach out to the Chalk Boys tonight and see if we can't get a special 50% off if you're an elected representative, because you need it the most right now, if you're an elected GOPer. choq.com, promo code Jesse. 35% off subscriptions. We all need to be on chalk, but no one needs it more than the GOP. All right, we have another hour. Why aren't they releasing the manifesto of that shooter? And the Ivy League schools are expensive. That sucks. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.